Job chapter 1. We're in the book of Job tonight. Job chapter 1. Find that place, and Dawn's going to come sing for us. We'll enjoy that. And so as soon as you find Job 1, look this way. Let's enjoy the song, and then we'll get right into the lesson. Thank you, Dawn.
We have labored in the vineyard of the Lord, and it seems the world has stolen our reward. But God has not forgotten, and when He calls us home, and a place of honor near His throne. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. We serve our risen Savior. Jesus rules and reigns. We do not walk alone. Our labor, our witness, our faith is not in vain. God has seen our faithful service through the years. All the heartaches, all the burdens, all the tears. But do not be discouraged. There's a purpose, there's a plan. There's a reason for each season. So trust the
steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Amen. Good song tonight. Thank you for that, Dawn. Great. All right, let's have prayer. Thank you, dear Father, for the good song tonight. And I pray that you'll please bless now the lesson from the book of Job. Thank you, dear God, for your word and the promise that we have that it will never return void. So as it goes forth tonight, I pray it will find some fertile soil in someone's heart and do a work of encouragement, a work of grace, a work of help. And Lord, if it's not immediately seen tonight, I pray that the residual effect will be there someday. We have that promise. And so bless your book tonight. Thank you for it. And these Wednesday nights together in it, in Jesus' name. And amen. Some people believe, well, the Bible says, verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. Some people believe that Job is the most ancient of the books in the Bible, the ancient, most ancient writing of all books in the Bible. Because Job makes no mention of the law, He makes no mention of any of the patriarchs. He makes no mention of Egypt. He makes no mention of the tabernacle. None of those things are mentioned in the book of Job. Some people believe that he lived between the days of Noah and Abraham, as a link, if you would, between Noah and Abraham. There is no doubt as to his literal existence, no doubt about that whatsoever, because he is mentioned in both Testaments, in Ezekiel in the Old Testament and James in the New Testament. So there's no question as to his reality, his existence. I guess there's some speculation as to when he lived, but most folks think he was one of the most, this was the most ancient of all biblical writings. Now, we begin our learning about the man Job with him facing, this is interesting after last night, because we begin our learning about the man Job with him facing the evil day, which is what Brother Coral talked about last night in his message on the armor of God. This right here, chapter 1 and chapter 2, is an all-out blitz of satanic oppression on Job, as Brother Coral described it from the book of Ephesians chapter 6, the evil day. This is where Job had to withstand. Remember that last night? You take a position and then you wrestle from that position, but then you're going to have to be prepared when the evil day comes to withstand. That means you get knocked down, but you don't get knocked out. You get back up and you live to fight another day. So this is Job withstanding. This is his evil day. This is the satanic onslaught. And he did withstand in the evil day, and he got back up to fight again. And that's how we're introduced to the man Job. Now, what he did is all the more incredible when we learn of what Job was and what he had before the evil day came to him. And you don't really learn about that until you get to Job chapter 29. So hold your finger in chapter 1. We'll come back there in a couple minutes. Look at Job 29. Job 29, in his own words, is a description of what he enjoyed before the evil day set on him. We don't have time tonight to read the entire chapter, but it would be good to read it because it's a complete description of what Job enjoyed. Look at verse number 1. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, "Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when His candle shined upon my head, and when by His light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil." Those are all personal blessings. Okay? Look at verse 7. "When I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me and hid themselves, and the aged arose and stood up." Verse 9. "The princes refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The nobles held their peace, and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me." That's his influence in the city where he lived. In the land of Uz. Talk about an influential man here. Talk about a prosperous man, a blessed man materially, a blessed man with his family, a blessed man at home, a blessed man with his influence in the city where he lived, the place where he lived, and all of that is such a blessing. And then he talks about it in verse number 20, "My glory was fresh in me, my bow was renewed in my hand. Unto me men gave ear and waited and kept silence at my counsel. After my words they spake not again, and my speech dropped upon them, and they waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter." All things were going well for Job. And you know the truth was that his outlook for the future was that things would be the same. Look what he said in verse 18. "Then I said, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand." Now, you see what he's saying? What he's saying is, you know, man, things are great. He's talking about the past. Things were great. Things were going good. I was blessed personally. I was blessed at home. I was blessed financially. I had influence in the community, influence in the place where I lived. People sought my advice. They said my steps were washed with butter and God's light was on me so that I could see through the darkness. I could see things other folks couldn't see. And he said, I really thought to myself, I'll die like this. And my days will be multiplied. The same days I'm enjoying right now, those days will be multiplied to the end of my life. He had that attitude. Hey, my house is paid for. My kids are starting to set up shop on their own. My investments are diversified and doing well. My health is good. My spouse is wonderful. Life is great. And God is good. And I don't see any reason why that doesn't just continue. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't. And it didn't for Job. But that was his attitude. And I don't think it was one of pride. Maybe it was. Maybe he come full of himself. And we'll learn a little bit something about that in a few minutes. But I think he is Job any different than some of what we've heard in the last several years here in the United States of America? 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds and, you know, excited about the fact that my house is going to be paid off by the time I'm 35 and the kids are going to be doing this and we're going to have this and I'll be set for life and I'll have this and this investment and this return and I'll be taken care of and blah, 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 blah. And I'll die in my nest. And my days will be multiplied. Well, hasn't that changed? Yeah. It's not always, folks. There's no promise. I mean, that would be ideal. But there's a little thing called reality that sometimes messes up idealism. And Job was about to hit reality. He had all those things going for him. I mean, he was doing well. And his outlook was that all of this would continue. And then there was a day. Chapter 1, verse number 13. Back to chapter 1. There was a day. And Job's in the middle of all this prosperity and all this enjoyment, and he sees no reason for it not to continue. In fact, in his mind, he's got it all settled and all it figured out, and this is how it's going to be. And the Bible says in verse number 13, and there was a day. There was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And for sake of time, I won't go on to read the rest of the passage. Most of you know what happens here. On that day, Job lost all of his possessions, all but four of his servants, and all 10 of his children in one day. Boy, things changed in a hurry for him, didn't they? Things have changed for people here in America, but it didn't change that fast. This all changed for him in one day. Everything he said in chapter 29, everything he had been enjoying and his outlook for the future, what he would keep enjoying, is all gone on that day. And yet the Bible says about Job in verse number 20 in chapter 1, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head. Sometimes I say we read the Bible like it's a fairy tale. We read down through those verses and it doesn't even affect us. Read the story of Job and he loses his camels, he loses his sheep, he loses his cattle, he loses his donkeys, he loses 10 children, he loses all of his servants, and it just to us it's just like, okay, what's the next chapter say? He's lost everything. It's a real story. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and pitched a fit like Max in the car, you know. No. And worshiped. He can crawl up in the fetal position and put his thumb in his mouth and wah, wah. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell on the ground, worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I think Brother Coral and Brother Green referred to this passage. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He didn't make any verbal accusations against God. God, why don't you love me? Why aren't you good to me anymore? God, I can't believe this is happening to me. He didn't charge God foolishly with any accusations. He worshiped God. Now, folks, Job had to respond to what was happening to him on the fly. Right? He had no book of Job to read. He's living it. What do you and I do when trials come? We fly to the book of Job. Well, he just flew by the seat of his pants. We have the privilege of learning from the whole story. So I want to give you three lessons. How do you do the book of Job in one night on a Wednesday night? How do you do this? Just, there's so much in this thing. There's so much in this story. But let me just give you three lessons tonight to think about. Number one, there was a day before the day. Look at verse 13 again. The Bible says chapter 1, and there was a day. But look at verse number 6. Now there was a day. Verse number 13 takes place on earth. Verse number 6 takes place where? In heaven. And verse 6 says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. I'm not going to do all the teaching that needs to go into that tonight. But let me just say, what took place in verse 13 on earth was approved in verse 6 in heaven. So there was a day before the day. Nothing happens to God's people on earth that has not first been approved in heaven. Nothing. Now folks, if it originates there, and you say, well man, Satan was the one who carried it out. Yes, but it was approved at the throne of God. Right? So if it starts there, and God is always good, and God is always right, and God is always just. Look, I'm not talking about self-inflicted things that we call persecution. Trials we bring on ourselves. I'm not talking about Jonah situations. Jonah put himself in the belly of the whale. There's consequences when you flee from the presence of the Lord. But this man was going along about life, honoring God. He was offering sacrifices for his children every day in case they got out of the will of God. This trial originated at God's throne. So nothing happens to God's people on earth that has not first been approved in heaven. When was your day? When was the day you look back at? Maybe it's recent, maybe it's past. But a day when an onslaught, the evil day, the all-out blitz hits you and tempted to charge God foolishly and you don't love me and how could you, if you were, no, before that day took place on earth, there was a day when that was approved at the very throne of God. And if God is always good, He's always right, He's always just, God is not trying to hurt any of us through the trials that come our way. That blesses me to know that Satan can't do anything unless God first approves it. There was a day before the day. Lesson number two. There was more than one iron in this fire. You ever heard anybody say, man, he's got a lot of irons in the fire? What they mean is he got a lot going on, right? There was more than one iron in this fire, this fiery trial Job was going through. There was more than one iron here, friend. There was more than one purpose for this thing. Number one, God was teaching Satan something about Job. For sake of time, Satan says to God, God says, you considered my servant Job? And Satan says, God, the only reason that man serves you is because you blessed him. If you took those blessings away, he would curse you. God said, okay, take him away. You know what Job did? He blessed God. Here, Satan. God was teaching Satan something. There are people on earth who love me. There are people on earth who honor me. There are people on earth who worship me. In the good and in the bad, Satan. You're always dragging up accusations, always looking for something negative, always flying that in my face. So God was teaching Satan something about Job. Satan said, you take the blessings away, Job will curse you. God took the blessings away, and Job blessed God instead. Now, maybe it might take the edge a little bit off of your trial. If you thought, maybe God's just thumping Satan a little bit. So God was teaching Satan something about Job. Number two, God was teaching Job something about Job. We get to chapter, 39 or 40, end of the book. God says to Job, He says, Job, I want you to gird up your loins like a man. Stand up on your feet, let me talk to you. I counted one time, I think I counted 84 questions God asked Job. 84. Job could answer none of them. Where were you when this happened? What about this? What do you know about this? Where were you in this? What about this? Job had no answer. So you know what he said when God got through with 84 questions? I abhor myself and repent. God was teaching Job something about Job. Evidently, there was a... Remember the potter and the clay in Jeremiah? And he's shaping the vessel. And he felt a little bit of something in that clay that would be a long-term problem. Maybe it wouldn't be a problem right at the beginning, but down the road there would be some residual effect from that whatever it was, and that little piece of gravel or a little piece of straw or something that wasn't supposed to be there. And God, the potter found a little flaw in the clay, and so he smashed it and pulled out the flaw and made it again. And evidently, in all of this molding and shaping of Job, the potter's hands, God the Father's hands, felt some little flaw in Job that he thought, you know, if I leave that in there, it's going to have a residual effect down the road someday. I'm going to have to get that out of Job, and it's going to take pressure and stress and strong measure. And so he broke Job down. Why? Because he hated Job? No. Because that's what it took to get the flaw out. And when it was all done, Job said, I abhor myself. You say, well, that's a horrible place to be. That's a wonderful place to be. We come to the end of ourselves. Say, Lord, it's not about me, and there's nothing good about me. The only thing good about me is You and nothing else. So God was teaching Satan something about Job. God was teaching Job something about Job. And I would say this, I think God was teaching us something about the evil day, because when God allows the evil day to come to us, where do we go? To the book of Job. So you remember, friend, that when the trial comes, when the evil day comes, that Brother Coral preached about last night, there was a day before the day, because nothing happens to God's people on earth that is not first approved in heaven. And when the evil day comes, remember, God has more irons in the fire than just one. There's more purposes in this trial than just me. God might be thumping Satan. God might be doing something for me. God might be doing something for someone I love through me. You just never know. And that's the truth. Sometimes God puts you through the fire to get to somebody else. And then lesson number three, there was no change in Job's character because of the trial. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. This is the response all of us ought to have. Again, there was a day when the sons of God, so here comes Satan again. And again, the Lord says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And verse 3, and this time he says, the same thing he said in chapter 1. There's none like him in the earth, verse 3. Perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And then he adds a phrase, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. Integrity is defined as wholeness, entireness. If I would take my pocket knife, which I've lost again, and hopefully, last time I lost it at Brady Mixon's house, and thankfully he brought it to me, and I hope it's at the lady's house where we visited Saturday. It would be a good reason to go back. I hope that's where it is. But anyway, if I had my pocket knife and I took me, this is a suit coat, a sport coat, and if I took my pocket knife and cut a hole or a big rip in this sleeve right here in this material, this coat will have lost its integrity. Right now it's a solid piece. It's a whole, an entire sport coat. But if I took a knife and just jabbed it and stabbed it, the thing would lose its integrity. This pulpit has integrity right now. It's one, but if I would take a chainsaw and just rah, through one of those posts, it would lose its integrity. It would lose its wholeness, its entireness. You know what God is saying? He's saying, Satan, you knocked Job down, but you didn't knock a hole in his spiritual character. He is still whole. He's still entire. He has retained his completeness. Now, this is what happens to you and I when we go through a trial. We figure, you know, I've been reading my Bible and look what happened to me, so I guess it don't work. We quit reading our Bible. We quit some aspect of serving God, or we quit some aspect of some Christian service, or we quit some aspect of our spiritual character, spiritual life, because, you know, Well, let me ask you a question. Was Job doing pretty good? Was Job spiritually doing pretty good? Yeah. And he still got knocked down. But it didn't knock a hole in his completeness. It didn't knock a hole in his entireness. He didn't change anything about his service, his attitude, his worship, his love for God. But so many times today, you know, we pooch our lips out. And look at all I've been doing for God and look what he did to me. When we have that attitude, friend, we lost our integrity. Are you with me? We got a hole in the suit sleeve. Man, I've been given and given and given and given, and I give the time, I give the mission, I give the ability fund, I give the special speakers, I give the special missionaries, and look what's happened to me. We respond that way. We've lost our integrity. God picked up on it. He said, Satan, boy, oh boy. And I'm going to tell you something. He didn't hit Job with a little slap in the face. He hit Job with a body slam. Right? And buddy, he got knocked flat. And God said the same things about Job after he got knocked down that he said about Job before he got knocked down. He escheweth evil. There's none like him. Upright man. Perfect and upright. And by the way, he retained all that. Even though you ran over him with a freight train. Amen. See, I'm afraid if it had been us, God would have said, well, you know, he's about 75% of what he was. Not Job. After he got knocked down, he was 100% of what he was before he got knocked down. Isn't that good, folks? Yeah, isn't that good? And see, and he's living this. Now you and I, we got the privilege of learning about this from this guy. In a real situation, we can run to our Bibles and learn these things and help us. So let me ask you a question. Who holds the greater responsibility when trials come? Us or Job? We do. Because he's handling this on the fly. You and I got an inspired, preserved record of his character to encourage us and learn from. I would suggest that when the evil day comes, we do as he talked about last night, have the whole armor of God on, be able to withstand. Understand, friend, that there was a day before the day. God sent this. Somehow he approved it. He okayed it. There must be something. And God has more than one iron in the fire here. He may be thumping Satan. He may be trying to get a flaw out of me. He may be trying to influence somebody else through me. But there's more irons in this fire than just one. God is not limited to a single purpose. And let's retain our integrity so that God can say, you know what? Their spiritual character is the same as it was before the evil day came. They have retained their wholeness, their integrity. That's it. Let's stand together. Dear Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight to learn from this man, his life, that freight train that knocked him down, and he retained his integrity, and I rejoice in it, and I want to be that kind of person. And I pray, God, that you'll help us all to be that tonight. So, Lord, bless the lesson, the thoughts that we've brought tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.